Welcome to Radio Sefarad's English Corner. I'm your host, Linda Jimenez, bringing news and other features of Jewish interest to Radio Sefarad's English-speaking audience in Spain and around the world. Our trivia question for this week is, where did Flori Sinor Rosenthal get her inspiration for the Ladino phrases used in her book? Flori Sinor Rosenthal is the author and illustrator of Nono's Kisses for Sephardic Children. It's the first in her Legacy and Literacy Scholastic series. While she comes from a mixed Sephardic-Ashkenazi background, she has always been especially interested in delving into her Sephardic roots, largely through the language, Ladino or Judeo-Spanish, spoken by her father's family. The purpose of this book is to give young children an introduction to this language in a fun way. Professionally, Ms. Sinor Rosenthal works as a genetic counselor. And to stimulate her creative side, she hand-paints porcelain Judaica and designs and prints invitations and other printed material for special events. Recently, she joined a Ladino singing group in Los Angeles, which she attends with her oldest daughter and a Sephardic friend. She's currently expanding her knowledge of Ladino and finds the online Ladino group, Ladino Comunita, founded by Rachel Amado Bortnick, a wonderful resource. Ms. Sinor Rosenthal's parents were remarkable role models who embodied important Jewish traditions and were always involved in their religious and secular communities. For this reason, Ms. Sinor Rosenthal has always been involved with charitable organizations and her synagogue. She hopes to help support various charities with some of the proceeds from her book. Ms. Sinor Rosenthal spoke with us about her unusual background and Nono's Kisses for Sephardic Children.
Thank you so much for speaking with us. I was wondering if you could tell us first about your own background, both linguistically and culturally.
Culturally, my mom, you know, always thought she was Ashkenazi, and my dad, we always knew, was Sephardic. And so growing up, I had a combination of the two in terms of customs for holidays and all. And I guess I was kind of lucky in the fact that, you know, my dad's side spoke Ladino, my mom's side spoke Yiddish, but neither of my parents could talk to each other in another language. Mm-hmm. So we always knew what they were talking about when they were talking about us, you know, because they had to use the English.
Did your parents themselves speak, did your mother speak Yiddish and did your father speak Ladino?
Yes.
Oh, how nice.
So, and for a time, my mother's mother had lived with us, so I heard a lot of Yiddish, and then when I would go and see my father's side, they all spoke Ladino all the time. I always had more of a leaning toward my dad's side and this dream to someday learn Ladino, because to me it sounded so exotic when I was young, and when I used to go to synagogue with him to the Sephardic Jewish Center, the tunes and everything was just so exotic and so captivating.
It must have been so nice to have both cultures when you were a kid.
Yeah, it was very nice because both cultures have such rich traditions, so I was lucky to learn from both and have a mixture of the two. So I feel blessed about that. Later on, though, it was kind of interesting that my mother eventually found out that her father's family was Sephardic. So when that happened, it was more the Sephardic culture at home and a little bit less of the Ashkenazi culture or whatever, but it just made everything really interesting.
How did you begin to investigate your Sephardic heritage?
You know, I've always been very inclined that way. You know, I've always wanted to learn more, and I was always trying to read as much as I could. Unfortunately, I grew up in New York, but when I got married, we kind of moved out of state and farther away. And up until that time, my dad was always interested in this culture, but not as much. And he started investigating more and more, probably when I was like in my 30s, and I was out here. And he became very involved with, like, the Sephardic Jewish Brotherhood and was always putting on programs with them and attending programs in New York. And unfortunately, having three kids, I was never able to attend those seminars or whatever with him and share that. But I kind of did what I could on my own with reading whatever I could. And so that's one of the things that I've been sad about is that I was never able to share a lot with my dad.
Are there many Sephardic Jews out where you are? Where are you exactly?
We're in Southern California. We're about halfway between L.A. and San Diego. Unfortunately, as far as I know, not so many out here. In my whole experience with the book, it's interesting the way things have happened, but I was able to meet somebody up in L.A. Who's Sephardic, and she invited me to attend a Ladino singing group with her, so I started doing that. So now with that group, it's like being home again, growing up and having all these people around me sharing the same culture, the foods, just the expressions or whatever. So unfortunately here in Orange County where we are, not so much, but fortunately now I have a connection to a larger group of Sephardic people in the L.A. area.
How did you go about learning Ladino?
Well, I'm kind of a work in progress. I started by learning Spanish in school, and this has been kind of a learning experience for me. So now in terms of learning, I found out through Rachel Amato Bortnick, who was kind enough to write a little snippet on the back of my book. I met her over the internet, and now I kind of read from her Ladino Comunita. So with that, you know, I take out my little Ladino English dictionary when I don't understand a word, but that's kind of helping me since I don't have anybody here with me that actually speaks it. So I'm learning as I'm going. And so I thought doing a children's book would be kind of the perfect thing because, in a sense, you know, usually it's the easiest time to learn when you're a child, another language. And so it just kind of has progressed from my wanting to learn and my steps in learning.
Can you describe the book to our listeners?
Yeah. My dad, growing up, used to tell me some funny phrases, or I remember hearing things from my grandmother, my nonna. And what I did was I took some of those phrases that I remember and some that I had also found new, and I turned them into illustrations, some of them based on some related things that my children had done growing up. And so there's 9 illustrations and 9 phrases. And each illustration and the question that first appears on the page is meant to engage a parent and a child or a grandparent and a child into a conversation about what they see in the picture. And then there's vocabulary and other questions written in English and in Ladino for the people having the conversation to use the Ladino words or whatever. Each illustration also has a hidden butterfly in it for the kids to find, and I thought that would be another way of making just the whole process and conversation and looking at the pictures fun for kids.
How did you decide on the structure?
I don't know. You know, it just kind of came to me. I had always been thinking of doing this for over 20 years, probably even over 30 years, and finally this was the time, and it just came to me in terms of how I wanted to do it. I had this series, so to speak, of phrases, and then the illustrations that came into my head, and I just put it all together.
So you yourself did the illustrations?
Yeah.
Which are charming.
Yeah, thank you. So yeah, I did the drawings, and at the time, the very beginning, I was having somebody coach me, and she was getting a little impatient with the time it was taking me. So I actually did have somebody help me with the coloring, but I had drawn all the illustrations beforehand.
Have you used this book at all with your own kids, or are they too old?
My kids are, yeah, they have, well, one of them has children of his own, so too old to use with them. But I do now have 2 grandchildren, Baruch Hashem, and one of them, the oldest, is just about turning 4. He was a little bit too young a few months ago to really sit there and concentrate on what I was trying to teach him. So I'm hoping when he actually turns 4, which was my targeted age group, was like 4 to 10, mm-hmm. I'm hoping by then he'll be able to sit still and listen to what I'm saying.
Have you shown this book to the group in L.A., the Ladino group that you're with?
Yeah. Yeah, the last singing group I was at, I showed it to them, and some of them bought it, and they thought it was great. And I've had a lot of good commentary from people that have read it. One of the people in the group actually teaches Ladino at UCLA, and he read it, and he told me he really liked it, so I'm excited. So I'm trying to get the word out.
Do you have any plans for any more children's books in Ladino?
Yes. And I've kind of already laid out the next book in my mind. What I was thinking of doing was taking each of the phrases in this book and then turning it into a story. And so I've kind of written that next book. So I just need to get going on my my illustrations for that and a little bit more in terms of how I'm going to do the Ladino. I don't want to overwhelm kids with telling the whole story in Ladino. I still want to kind of make a mixture of English and Ladino because mm-hmm. I think that might be easier for them to learn. And again, I like having the vocabulary that they could then use when they're driving the car, let's say with their parents, and let's say we stress colors in one of the illustrations. I remember with my kids, we always used to play a game, you know, about what color you see or whatever, you know, I spy or whatever, and or what item. So mm-hmm. so I hope that they could take the vocabulary from within the books and apply it to games.
Well, thank you very much, Florrie, and best of luck.
All right, thank you for having me.
If you would like to order a copy of Nono's Kisses for Sephardic Children, you can go to the link on this page. Well, that's it for this week. As always, we'd love to hear from you, so please email us any comments or suggestions or questions you'd like us to answer on the air. Our address is englishcorner@radiosephara.com. See you next week.